7 in Jacksonville at Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. Ah! And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
I feel good!
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio tonight is co-host in the hot seat, Angela Walker from Real Estate Radio, heard here on WBOB every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And Angela is such a wonderful, endearing person. She's talking during my lead-in and my little introduction and telling me how self-serving that appears to be.
Yes, it does. You got a big old ego and you have to feed it all the time. I get it.
Really? You're going to go there? All right. Howard, it's on. Howard listening intently at home, writing down, making notes, saying, she's going to deserve everything she gets in the 8
Anyone who knows you knows that. It's all that's fake. That's not news.
My ego's all fake. You know, it's not real.
Nah.
Jimmy Hill joining me in the studio tonight, candidate for mayor.
He's nice.
And we have... his wife of 20 years.
Yes, she's 20, nice,
23.
Too.
20
she's
years.
She's got a sweet
23.
Smile.
23.
23 years, yes.
Was it 20 you said the first time, though?
No, 20.
Bill,
and I was
stop
counting
with
fingers.
The man. Like,
we're going to bring Robert. Robert, you're on the line with us here on I'm Speaking. Like, we're having a good time tonight. Robert, you have a question for Jimmy Hill.
Hey, great job, 23 years, Jimmy.
Thank you.
We know that the season has begun because the first blood's begun to fly between our two previous candidate, so we know election's coming. What do we, Jacksonville deserves better than two Hillaries, but
right,
bottom line, what are you bringing to the table, Jimmy? Why cast my vote for Jimmy Hill?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So experience, I mean, I'd be honest with you, I've got a lot more political experience than the current mayor had when he was elected. I've been elected. I've been in the legislative seat. I was a city commissioner for a small town, but our budget was large. I have a struggle. I have an issue. My issue is I have common sense, and that really doesn't work in government a lot of times. But when I'm able to apply it, which I was able to force it into the conversation quite a bit in Atlantic Beach, it solves problems. It takes things that are not normally considered, and it makes solutions to situations that are not normally solvable. And it's the thing that I bring to the table is common sense. And integrity, and the missing piece in every political scheme is integrity. Integrity seems to be, you know, something that's literally removed from you when you get in the process. And I did not let them indoctrinate me in my first round of politics as a small, you know, small city. And they do try. They send you all kinds of political indoctrination processes. And quite frankly, I don't do lunch with developers. I do the city's business in the daylight and in, you know, public meetings. That's the kind of thing that's going to make a change. And if we don't do that, we're going to have what we have, no matter who's elected. If it's not somebody that'll do that, we're going to have the exact same situation. So that's a great question. And, you know, I have a background in business. I've run a business locally. I ran the boat show for 21 years. Yeah, I hate to say it, but I know that number. So for 21 years, and it's a large event with lots and lots of...
That was 1 year longer than you were...
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
doing the math. But no, I have a diverse background. I was a public servant. I was a firefighter, but not just a basic firefighter. I was deeply involved in the political side of it. And here's something kind of weird, too. I'm a conservative person, but I was a union president, which is a weird position. You don't normally mix those two things. But I have, you know, a different story to tell, a different background, and I'm able to sort through and actually address issues from different positions. And I don't see that in politics. I'm excited about the opportunity. But the one word that keeps coming up is resolve. I also have the resolve and the strength to face this massive, massive, massive corruption that exists in government everywhere, but specifically in Jacksonville, there's a form of corruption, and it's not the brown bag sack full of money probably, but it's everything's happening in the back room, and we've got to fix that. We've got to bring the city's business back out into the sunshine, and that's it. And I can't think of a piece of government that I haven't functioned in or worked in. There's not a neighborhood in Jacksonville I don't know well. I'm a native of the community. I've been under most of the houses in Springfield. I grew up in Arlington. I've worked in pretty much every neighborhood in Duval County. So I understand the problems, and I know the people. I've been in the homes. I've been, through different the fire department being one way, and then the business aspect of it being another. So I'm excited about it. And I know nobody else in this race has that combination. So.
Well, I mean, I'm looking now at some of the interview points, some of the talking points, some of the positives and negatives while you were responding to that question on just one topic that's come up, and that was the sale of JEA or the proposed sale of JEA and how that was kept away from the voters. And you talked about involving yourself in eliminating some of the corruption. Although in its truest form, that may not be corruption.
Right.
But it is a lack of transparency.
Right. And the thing that makes it corrupt is when you load a board to get to a means. When you literally use your position to manipulate the outcome, there's a form of corruption there. And I know technically, that might not be the exact right word, but I can't think of a word that fits exactly what that is. I mean, it's genius, but dirty and evil genius, not good genius. And so when you're manipulating and moving the big pieces on the board for an end game and your citizens are not engaged in it, I think it's corruption. I think it has to be, called for what it is and pointed out. There's 100 reasons why not to sell the JEA, and there's only one reason to sell it, and it's a bad contract that no one really gets to look at, and we don't know why we have to live by it. Let's talk about that contract before we talk about selling this utility. Let's look at that contract in depth and find out why we're stuck in something that's so nasty.
Derek is listening to us at home, and he said, I've heard you speak before. I will respond. I listened to the interview that they gave you last Sunday. Was it Sunday night? No, it was just a couple of nights ago. Did you have something on Sunday?
Possibly. Okay. We've been somewhere everywhere.
All right.
Every night we're working our tails off.
Well, he said, it's really a shame that you don't get leader status like the other two. Does that bother you that you don't get leader status?
No, it's really funny. So yes and no. If we had come out with the exact same playing field as Anna Broche or Lenny Curry in this race, we didn't have the deep, deep pockets to survive that brutal beating that they're both going through. So in a way, we're protected right now. It's a weird situation, but we're right where we're supposed to be. We're known. We're doing the hard work. We're on the street. I literally wore out a pair of shoes. I'm going to get another pair, and we're going to keep going. We're working, and we're on the street. We're in the grassroots. The media will come around at exactly the right minute. And this, the other thing that's interesting is I'm a marketing person. I produced events that required specific marketing. It's identical. The numbers needed to be spent to reach the voters in Duval County are the same. So we're going to hit the numbers we need to make sure everybody knows we're in this at exactly the right time. So we're very, very, very much where we need to be. And that's working out.
All right. Talk about marketing. The mayor, before Anna Broche even threw her hat in the ring and announced as a candidate, was spending $25,000 a week on an ad buy, a TV ad buy. Do you anticipate that you're going to start doing that kind of mass media marketing, or is your campaign above all that mudslinging?
So we won't do the mudslinging, but we will engage heavily in the conversation. We're not going to throw the mud in the same way, but we're not going to hold any punches. If somebody's doing something wrong, we're going to call them on it.
All right. I just got another text, and we're going to get to this as soon as we get back. Rally your thoughts together about the pension plan.
Sure.
And we'll talk about that in the next segment. The pension plan has been a favorite of mine to criticize. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to run out of steam before it ever gets to an opportunity to be used. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We got Marty on line one. Don't know who's on line two. But we'll get to all of you guys when we get back in just a few minutes. Angela Walker joining me here in the studio. She's being quiet and resting her voice because she knows she's going to have to use it in just a little bit. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Are you afraid of the IRS because you have unfiled or unpaid taxes? Most don't realize that having unfiled federal taxes is a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail for each unfiled return. With the IRS, it's never a question of if they'll come, but when. We are J. David Tax Law, a local firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to IRS protection is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. Call today for a no-cost consultation at 904-606-0009. That's 904-606-0009. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. You've heard him and his team on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team on location in a city near you for the Financial Freedom Seminar. Check the schedule and claim your seats at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking. We're having a lot of, you know, I really enjoy it when you're in the studio.
I know you do.
And I'm enjoying it even more so tonight because your voice is kind of going away. And so
yes,
you're just kind of sitting over there, saving up your energy.
Just looking cute and, you know, not causing you any problems. I get what you appreciate.
Okay. So we have got, let me see who's online too. That must be Robert. Robert, welcome to the show.
It's Holly.
No, it's Holly. Okay, I'm sorry. Holly dropped off. Hello, Holly.
No, you've got Holly.
Holly.
Robert dropped off.
Holly, Angela needs some help. She just doesn't know how to deal. She doesn't know how to get down in the trenches and
I know,
and
Holly.
It
can
out.
You be here by 8?
Angela, what size shoe do you wear?
8.5.
Do you have nice wide feet?
Yeah, why?
Because you could get both of them with one stomp.
All right, thank you, Holly.
I like that, Holly.
You have a question for Jimmy Hill joining us in the studio.
Jimmy, I asked this of Anna when she was in the studio. Our son has worked for many, many moons down with the sheriff's department, and they haven't gotten a raise in a while. And they did just get one, and it was nice, but, you know, you go years without getting one. It makes you wonder what's going on with the pension plan.
Yep.
And how are you going to start this conversation that we need to look at more than what they've just brought forward?
Right, the problem.
How are you going to have it? Because it's going to be talking to the union people with the cops. It's going to be talking to Mike Williams. You're going to have to talk to the shift guys and say, we need to get our crime down. How are we going to get our crime down? We need to make maybe take some folks down there that need to take a step back, that don't need to be so involved in taking over our city.
Yep.
I'm not going to mention any names. Just think.
Totally understand. So let me tell you my background.
Thanks, Holly. I appreciate the call tonight. Take care, dear.
It's a great question. So let me tell you my background so you know where I'm coming from with this. I've sat on both sides of the fence. I've negotiated from the position of the actual president of a labor union on these exact issues. And I've sat in the position of a city council person listening to the issues from the other side to make the decisions. And I've been able to do two things. I've been able to strike a decent compromise because it's the only way you're going to make that work. But what we have here is a situation where someone attempted to fix a 50-something-year-old, maybe I'm kind of guessing at that number, and hope Bill doesn't hold me to the exact number. But
If it's 20 or 23.
20 or 23. So it's a long-term problem. It developed over many years. Society had their public safety in a pension system, and then we get along in years and we figure out that actuarially it's starting to slip and fall and it's getting behind. And the problem is we have an administration try to fix it in one fell swoop, and it's a very, very, very long-term problem that needs a stage out to fix. And to fix it in 1 year for political expediency is insane. And it's the dividends that's going to reap on the negative side are huge. You're going to see a cultural switch in the department. The way people view the career or the job, it won't have the career aspect that it's always had, which is a required element for public safety. You put too much money in training and too much money in keeping them here to have them look down the road. And we are now going to be a training ground for other departments because we don't offer competitive wages and we don't offer competitive pension. And it's not that it didn't need to be fixed. I 100% agree it needed to be adjusted. Society had decided that it's not going to work to let the unfunded liability keep building and building and just trying to fix it because eventually it will collapse. It's that you don't fix it in 1 year. Two or three stages over 10 years would have made more sense to me. And ease that entire system, the public safety system, out of the pension system that it was in, into something that better fit the need. But to do it in 1 year is ridiculous. The exact numbers of that would have to be set and worked out, but it makes no sense to fix something in a single shot of that scope. And that it just is baffling to me that they tried. And it's purely political. It's 100% about where somebody else is heading politically, more than it is about solving the problem, because all they did was kick the can down the road and created another problem. And I hope that makes sense to everybody. It's a complicated issue, but drawing it out, making it something that was long-term is the only solution.
Well, knowing that they've kicked it down to the 2030 time frame, most of these folks will be out of elected office and beyond the ability to be retreads like Tommy Hazzuri and some of the others. By the way, Tommy Hazzuri is catching a great deal of flack from his own party and others for having endorsed Mayor Curry. He's a Democrat, and he's endorsing a Republican that he originally said shouldn't have gotten the office over Alvin Brown. So it's outlining Tommy as a major flip-flopper, and I'm wondering if that's going to have any effect on the Democrats showing up to the ballot box in March.
It will, and that whole issue, the whole turnout's going to be the key to this whole race, and that's what's kind of interesting about it. Neither candidate has a base right now, and I'm the only person that's working in the base of both parties right now, and that's what's interesting. And I have common ground in both bases, and that's what's sort of surprising everybody. And the media, is blind. And again, to you, I think I told you after the show a few weeks ago, you're the only person doing journalism right now. There's no one else lining up everybody. There's some stuff slated. There's some stuff that's scheduled. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope they come on board. And I know they have to wait till the race settles out, but there's been some parts to it that were worth reporting the whole time, and you're the only one doing it. So thank you, Bill.
Well, they don't, and I appreciate that. They don't pay me to have you guys on. You don't buy an ad package to be here. I do it just so that we can get both sides to every issue, get the story out there. And the mayor's office knows that there's an open door here for them to walk through at any time. He used to do a show here on WBOB about 10 years ago. He knows where the address is. Let's go to Marty real quick on the phone. Marty, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Well, pleasure. Jimmy Hill, Marty from St. Augustine. I met you at the rally a few months ago.
Yes, sir.
I love to hear you. I tell you what, first of all, I think I'm going to move to Jacksonville so I can vote for you for
thank you.
Your position, because I think you are the only one for mayor. I want to tell you something. I've been very critical about my beloved city, or as we affectionately say down here, the evil city to the north, and I don't mean New York. I find Jacksonville to be very deficient when it comes to recreation. And they do have a few nice venues, but I really don't find for a city this size and with this population that they have enough. I mean, except for the theaters, you can do all of Jacksonville's museums and everything in a day or two. The big attraction a few weeks ago is when the old City Hall was imploded. That, I think there were people selling hot dogs and popcorn down there. But getting away from the brute force things, do you have anything envisioned, or what do you think Jacksonville needs for the city of this size? You know, that with a parenthetical note, that you used to have years ago a theater district similar to New York, and it was really, in the old days, Jacksonville was a really nice place. What can we do to bring this back, the old entertainment part of Jacksonville?
Absolutely. Thank you, Marty. I appreciate your comment.
Absolutely, and your vision is pretty close so to what we've been looking at. The absolute key to it is you have to bring your tax roll downtown into play. And it doesn't have to all be businesses that are phone centers and some of the traditional insurance-related stuff. We can actually have a thriving cultural center in downtown Jacksonville. My sister's involved in art projects, and they struggle. There's a lot of museums that attempt to launch, and there's a lot of, so we can partner with those entities that want to exist. We can use corporate money instead of government money to get them going. And we can build downtown into a thriving center, but we can't do it if there's a risk of crime at the level that it is. We can't do it if you're being panhandled every corner, which there is right now. So what the government does is we set the environment for these types of things to thrive. And the city's killed every good event that's ever happened in the city. They literally have killed every decent event that's happened, and that's a big part of what's wrong. For many years, special events in downtown Jacksonville, the city's function, was competitive against freestanding events. The ones that didn't cost taxpayer money were the ones that got mashed out, and the ones that did cost taxpayer money were the ones that got special treatment, special dates, that sort of thing. We got to fix that. We got to make our special events department function in a slightly different way, and you know, it's an easy fix. We don't have to go through there and clean house. We just need to change the culture inside the department and make sure that things are – the priorities are right, and that we don't just throw money at things that aren't used. And I'm talking about events and cultural things. And we have to embrace them. And Jacksonville is nothing but potential in that area, but it won't happen until we get the environment safe. We get the streets lit properly. We provide parking for the same exact type of events. It's a part of the reason the Landing's struggling is they never provided the parking that was supposed to go to them. There's Marty, your observations are spot on.
Let me ask you, hypothetically, in a Jimmy Hill mayoral administration, what would you propose we do with the homeless situation downtown?
So,
and I've gotten four comments while you were talking.
Absolutely.
Asking what he'd do about the homeless.
So the homeless situation is an addiction issue. It's 99% addiction. It's a percentage of mental illness. And society used to deal with both those issues in a different way, and that's the big change. We have to treat addiction. We have to get addiction under control. The opiates are a big, big deal, and just general street drugs. And then, quite frankly, provide shelters. Not the typical shelters, but shelter, places to sleep other than in the street. And we have to do it. Society has to accept it. We can't leave it the way it is. It's not working. It's failing us all. So we have to address that issue directly head on and take care of it.
Can you stay for another segment?
Love to.
Excellent. All right. Jimmy Hill joining us for another segment here when we get back. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Jimmy Hill, a candidate for mayor here in Jacksonville, playing a clean fight so far. No mudslinging. Come out swinging, but strictly on the issues. If you'd like to reach me, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly, or bill@600wbob.com. Angela Walker joining me as a co-host in the hot seat. She'll be coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get the chance to hear her point of view also. Join us on the backside, won't you?
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is reaffirming his decision to not resign after two women have come forward with accusations of sexual assault. Fairfax issued a statement today again denying the allegations, saying his encounters with the women were consensual. He made clear he is not immediately resigning and called for, quote, space in this moment for due process. He's also calling for authorities, including the FBI, to investigate. One of Elizabeth Warren's rivals in the Democratic race for president coming to her defense in the face of attacks by President Trump's reelection campaign, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says Mr. Trump's name-calling is, quote, irresponsible and unpresidential. Warren entered the 2020 race on Saturday, and Mr. Trump's campaign immediately issued a statement citing the Massachusetts senator's past claims to Native American heritage. This is SRN News.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
AAMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care is a great place to do business and a great place to work. I'm Dean Black, local AAMCO Transmissions owner. Because our highly trained technicians can fix the most complicated part of your car or truck, we're also the right choice for virtually any repairs needed. And we warranty all work through hundreds of AAMCO centers across the country. So AAMCO Transmissions is a great place for you to do business. And AAMCO is a great place to work. Our highly valued employees are respected, trained, and provided with great opportunities for promotion and advancement. Plus, we give them Saturdays and Sundays off to be with their families. We recruit the best so our customers get the very best service. And we're always looking for new talent to add to our staffs at our 7 local centers, from St. Augustine to Orange Park to St. Mary's, Georgia. So we say AAMCO Transmissions is a great place to do business because it's a great place to work. Find us at AAMCOJacksonville.com.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
I'm Tom Murphy, 734. Right now there's a multi-vehicle crash that actually has been there for about 30 minutes now. The crash is on Butler Boulevard westbound approaching the off-ramp for Gate Parkway, and volumes heavy Beach Boulevard in both directions from the East Beltway to Kernan. Cloudy and breezy tonight, a chance of showers down to the mid-50s. Tomorrow, cloudy with a breeze, a chance of rain and a high 66. Right now in Jacksonville, 57 degrees.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Jimmy Hill joining me in the studio tonight for a concept and discussion regarding his possible mayoral administration here in Jacksonville. Currently a campaign for mayor. Angela Walker in here sitting in as co-host in the hot seat. And I happened to mention, I said, well, we've got a caller on line one. And I looked over and I said, oh, yeah, this girl's a real nut job, but come to find out she's not. She's actually your sister.
So, oh, that's funny.
She can tell us she can tell us some really good stuff about what it was like growing up in the Jimmy Hill family.
Thank goodness that I didn't say nut job.
Hey, Sherry, welcome
to the
show.
All right, boys. That's not nice.
Welcome to the show.
I'm going to school you both. Welcome, and thank you for taking the call. I'm calling in because when I wasn't going to call, but he mentioned that he has a sister, and it's true, I have been active to bring a museum in particular. This project in particular is dear and near to my heart. It happens to be a history museum. We don't have a history museum for our city. And I was creating this project that weaves all of our great already existing organizations together to create this showcase. But the other part of it, and I wanted to make really clear that I'm not pursuing the museum. If Jimmy is elected, I will give all of my notes and all of my project research and everything that I compiled to whatever group he can deem to get it done. I feel that strongly about it, that it just needs to get done. I know he would be a good steward of that project.
Yeah, it's a neat. Go ahead.
I just want to say this. You didn't talk about the fact that you, in your boating event, which I watched and saw from infancy into the huge event that it turned into, you did an amazing job to balance the local business culture and the larger corporation coming in and displaying their wares at that event. I know that that kind of stewardship is what our city needs because it's balanced and it's respectful. There are so many smart people here that just need a little bit of opening to create amazing things for us. I personally don't want to live in Orlando. I don't like what they're doing to downtown. I don't want to spend $40 for a hamburger in my city. That's not who we are. And so I just want to give you the props and the kudos for your balance of the local business and understanding how hard it is to start from the bottom and build and make that happen.
Well, thank you, Sherry. And
thanks, Sherry. I appreciate it. Sounds like she likes you.
Well, we're family, and that's what you're supposed to do when you're on the air.
Oh, okay.
So the irony is her project was very cool. She was capturing the oral history of Jacksonville with video, and she was bringing centurions and, you know, people with stories to tell, and she was capturing it, setting them down, and just getting those stories before they slip away into history, way before it was trendy and cool. And I think it's cool that she was doing that. Our family's fifth generation. We have, you know, quite a bit of history ourselves and understand the environment. And what she's speaking to about the boat show is it was a, you know, really important that we protect local businesses while we grew this big international event. It had become at one point when the economy was strong, a kind of a challenge to keep the larger entities from eating up and swallowing the local businessmen who had employed families for generations. And so it was a big challenge. It was an easy thing to do because it was morally right, and it was actually kind of kept the show properly scaled. And it was tempting to just keep blowing it up and make it bigger, but it isn't who we are. And obviously it would have served us, better in the long run to keep it scaled the way it belongs. And right now in Jacksonville, that isn't happening with a lot of other industries. You'll see that the local guy does not get a voice at the table. Matter of fact, they're getting mashed pretty regularly by this administration.
That's what, I guess I keep circling back to the same thing. We have a few core families that spend a great deal of money to buy political influence.
That's true.
And also buy endorsements. And we talked about the endorsements before. When and if there was a Jimmy Hill administration, one of the big things is that some of the unions that negotiate with the city,
right,
JFRD and JSO, their contract negotiations, because of the way things are structured, fall just prior to an election cycle.
Right.
Would you be opposed to either extending a contract by a year? Obviously, they're not going to want to shorten a contract, but to get those negotiations off the same year as an election cycle so that take-home cars and some of the other perks, bulletproof vests, I still can't believe we live in a city where the fire department has to have bulletproof vests.
It's a changing world.
It is a changing world. But would you be willing to move those contract negotiations to an off year?
It would behoove all of us to keep things like that as apolitical as possible. And a good example of that is endorsements can be bought. And if you dig deep, you're a journalist, you'll understand that. I'm not going to make any indictments of people who I love and respect in this town, but things have happened in this election that are suspicious and obviously need review. along those lines. And there's no way to avoid it. And there's no way to say, oh, well, that's not happening. And you can talk to anybody in any one of the big public safety sectors and look at the recent activities and the promotions and the things like that. And you're going to see anomalies that are, you know, they're not new, but they're the audacity of this administration is pretty insane when it comes to that. So, but you know what? It's the way it works now. We can fix it. If someone put integrity into the system, that would change it. And that's what's missing. That's the part that is missing, is that is the kind of thing that wouldn't happen. And I would definitely stand in the light of day on those issues, because you cannot keep doing that. Eventually you're going to end up like you were. And Bill, we would have been one of those big families. I meant to tell you this. My family had a business, first business in Arlington, and you would have heard the Hill name for generations, except it was a bait shop and an ice cream shop. And it just didn't go huge.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. I'm trying to figure out why. But
I just can't imagine. You know, anchovy flavored or worm flavored. Yeah. You could have had gummy worms, and they could have really been real gummy worms and vanilla ice cream.
My great-grandmother, I wish I could chat with her about it today. I think they had the right idea. I just think the combination might not have worked.
So. I'm not exactly sure. We've got lines messed up, and the computers are going wonky here. I think this is Nathan. Nathan, is this you on line two?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Nathan. Nathan wants to know, go ahead, Nathan. You're on with Jimmy Hill.
Hey, good evening. So obviously we've got two individuals who are at least seem to be in it for simply their political careers and future aspirations. If I'm in a voting booth and I've got 30 seconds, what is two sentences that you would say sum up you and your campaign?
So in 30
Thanks,
seconds,
Nathan.
Integrity. And a lifetime of integrity, and not just a political word integrity, and not just the political ploy integrity, but integrity, integrity, integrity. And that is born out of transparency. You can't show or prove your integrity unless you have transparency. And that's the thing that's missing. That's what's the easiest thing to describe. But then there's one more piece. All of that doesn't matter if there's no accessibility, and you cannot get to your elected officials now in a way that makes a difference. And I don't plan to lead from the fourth floor. I plan to spend most of my time in satellite offices and community centers and neighborhoods on a regularly scheduled basis. I will lead and rule from the voice of the people, from meeting with them on their turf. And you won't have to come track me down, and I won't take an elevator that's hidden out of the building on the fourth floor. I'll come to your neighborhood. I'll be available. I'll be accessible. And I'll listen, and I'll represent you. And that's the biggest thing the mayor does. Thank goodness he doesn't fix the potholes and all that. He's the liaison between what needs to be done and what gets done.
So here's a question that came up on Facebook. Referring back to an interview that I had with Anna Brochet, and it was relative to the schools shutting and locking and chaining the gates to the playgrounds and some of the other venues that could be used for after-school activities because of a liability aspect. Is there a way to measure, and this comes from Colton. Colton, thank you for your comment. Is there a way to measure acceptable liability with acceptable access to the public school playgrounds after school is over?
Bill, I'm going to have to ask for more than 2 minutes to answer this. This is a key part of what we're doing, but I'm going to say there is a way, and it doesn't just involve school playgrounds. It involves a lot of facilities that the city has. Quality of life is something that is talked about a lot but not addressed. Quality of life means that you can make access to the things that you bought with your taxpayer money when you want to use them. And we lock everything up in this city. You can't find a dock to fish on in this city by code, by ordinance, because of that exact issue. My kids actually are fortunate. The gates of the school stay open, but it's an anomaly. It's not normal. Usually liability does lock up the playgrounds. I'll go one step farther. I think that buildings shouldn't sit empty. That's a big part of the answer to the crime problem, is schools don't have to just close and be shut at night. They can act as civic centers. They can function as gathering places that provide the same safety and security that these kids need and are looking for. So we're going the wrong direction there, and I think we can turn it around.
We'll give you a little more time on that subject when we get back, because I remember when I was a small child, I learned speed reading, I learned sign language, so many things in what was called continuing education courses at Terry Parker High School, which, being a Sandalwood graduate, was really the only good reason to ever go to Terry Parker High School in the first place. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. You can reach me on Facebook if you can, Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly, or Bill at 600WBOB.com, Bill at 600WBOB.com. WBOB.com. Hot button issues tonight. Got 8 personal messages from people that want to talk more and hear more about Jimmy Hill. We're going to step away for a minute. We'll be right back.
Go Braves.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
It's not easy making a job change, but great opportunities only come around so often. And American Electrical wants to strike a deal with you that will ignite your career like you're a first-round draft pick. American Electrical is looking for the best electricians in Jacksonville, and they'll make sure you're rewarded for the work you do. A benefits package that's second to none, including 4% matching 401k. And once you're there for 3 years, you can start planning 3 weeks of vacation. Call 737-7770 or stop by their offices on St. Augustine Road. American Electrical.
This is the spark that starts it. This is the oak that smokes it. These are the hands that pull it. This is the knife that slices it. This is our original slow-smoked pork. And Sonny's Barbecue is the only place you'll find it. Come get an original pork plate at Sonny's with pulled or sliced pork and either more pork, ribs, or ribs and smoked wings, plus a side and bread starting at $8.99. Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmasters since 68.
Hunting season's here, so let me ask you this. Are you really going to try to squeeze another year out of that wore-out ATV of yours? You need to get down to Jacksonville Power Sports, where you can compare 3 brands under one roof. Take advantage of the great deals on Kawasaki, Can-Am, or Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. Jacksonville Power Sports. They got knowledgeable salespeople, a well-stocked parts department, and a service department that fixes them right the first time. Jacksonville Power Sports. Your hunt starts here. Visit JacksonvillePowerSports.com. That's JacksonvillePowerSports.com.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, February 15th through Sunday, February 17th, it's the Jacksonville International Auto Show at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. Check online for daily show hours. Friday, February 15th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, February 16th at 4 p.m. See and hear Stop at the Times Union Center. And Saturday, February 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We've got about 10 minutes left in Jimmy Hill being in the studio, and then it's all about you, and you're still doing it. You're telling me when the clock's going off. You're telling me when I can. Howard, you are a saint. Howard Vergalis, Real Estate Radio, you are a saint. Do you do this to him too?
How am I supposed to go home after you just said that?
Do you do this
seriously?
To him too? Do you like point at the phone whenever he's got a phone call?
Of course.
Call?
It's called being a team and being helpful to each other.
Oh.
You didn't see the caller. Now the caller's dropped.
Because it was Tom having a personal phone call.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
And the lights flashing again.
Whatever. Anyway, Jimmy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We got into talking about what would happen with the playgrounds and some of the other public areas, and you seem to have some really good ideas. Do they include maybe appointing community service people to be there to do night basketball or something to keep
exactly.
kids away from crime and
so
drugs?
A big thing that I talk about a lot is a thing that I call the fire pit, and that idea was born from something that happened organically in our life. I've got teenage sons, and we live in a neighborhood that's got a diverse group of kids, and we're the gathering place. We're the place where they go. So my kids built a fire pit in the backyard, and that pit has been the center of attention for 20 or 30 kids over the last couple of years. And it's a safe place. It's a place that they have camaraderie. It's a place where there's some adults that have supervision, but not direct. Like, we watch them, but they're not being hovered over.
So let me stop you there for just a second. Yeah. I thought that was the most fantastic idea when I first heard you express it at one of your campaign rally events. Right. You were brainstorming. I happened to mention that to one of my friends who is a city councilman. I won't mention his name. But I said, you know, what a great idea. You know, we put a fire pit at the local high school or at the park or something other, and you have a place where on cool nights, people can go stand around the fire, maybe do some marshmallows or make some s'mores or something. And he said, absolutely not.
Right.
It'll teach kids about making fires in their backyards, and we'll have all of these unauthorized burnings going on all around town. And I'm thinking to myself, how protective do we have to be? First of all, kids don't need to be taught how to make a fire.
They know how.
They know how.
Right.
You know, we have protected ourselves. We're all in bubbles.
We live in a sad, sad world right now. And if we can start chipping away and getting some of our liberties back, one of the things I did in Atlantic Beach, and the caller's question was perfect, I fought diligently to get a fishing dock open till 10 o'clock at night or whatever time was reasonable. But most of the good fishing was off this dock at night, and we were shutting the gate at sunset. And it was supposed to be a fishing dock. And if we can't trust our citizens to fish on a dock, and yes, something bad will happen out there eventually because there are some bad people in the world, but that's part of the risk of being alive. And we need to take that risk, and we need to literally figure out a way to absorb it. And part of that's the litigation-based world that we live in. So we gotta be a little braver as a society. We have to be a little braver, and to have the quality of life that we think we want, we have to be a little braver than we are right now.
And I agree with you. I think in many ways our city and our city leaders, our city fathers, have become so incredibly terrified of the Eddie Farahs and the John Phillipses and the people out there that want to sue for anything and everything. You know, there's a lawsuit coming down the pipe about a fellow who was run over by a train.
Right.
And he's jogging with earbuds in on a train track. Now, right. I went to public school. I'm not the smartest kid on the block, but I remember when it was against the law to even walk on a train track.
I think that a jury of your peers might be the problem. If these juries are starting to lean in the direction of paying a payment on something like that, then we do have an issue, and that might be part of that education thing that we were talking about. We have some dumb people. If you would side with a guy that's jogging on a train track and a train hits him, especially unless it's, if it's from behind. Now, he might not have seen it if it was behind him.
Right.
In other words, I'm joking.
Right,
that's
I understand
that's
that.
Insane.
I understand. It's the craziest world that we live in when a woman can sue for a hot cup of coffee and get awarded $750,000, this occurred in California, and then force McDonald's, a global corporation, to put caution, contents may be extremely hot. It's a cup of coffee.
All right, I'm not trying to be a comedian, but the braille at the drive-through window is one of those that kind of always strikes me as interesting. Basically, litigation is driving a lot of insanity. You shouldn't be driving if you're completely blind, and that's probably a good idea, and probably shouldn't be jogging on train tracks. And,
yeah, you know.
So let's go ahead.
We're getting away from the sense of normalcy in anything that we do in our world. I actually stopped. There was the gentleman with the recycle truck missed my house on Friday.
Right.
So I followed him because it's the third time, and we only get recycle every 2 weeks. It's the third time he's missed my house for recycle. First of all, I'm not really happy about having to collect my recycles in the first place because I know it costs money for the city of Jacksonville to participate in the recycle program. It actually costs us more to recycle stuff than it does to bury it in the landfill. We're actually paying a company to pick up our stuff, haul it to Jasper, Florida, and then it gets hauled across the line somewhere near Valdosta where we pay them to do this. But that's a sidebar. But the guy got out of the truck when he noticed I was following him, and I flashed my lights, and he parks and gets out. He comes back to me. He's got the wireless earbuds in, and he walks to my car with the earbuds still in and says, "What's up?" And I said, "You do realize that it's against the law to have a CDL and be driving a commercial vehicle while your ears have earbuds stuffed in them." And he said, "Is that what you stopped me for?" And I said, "No, I stopped you because you've missed my house three pickups in a row." And he began to argue with me. So I said, fine, no problem. I picked up the phone. I called his boss. Guess what? He had to come back because they have cameras on the trucks.
Right.
And they are allowed, they have the ability, and they saw that. I don't know whether he'd be on my route next week, but
that's what I was thinking.
The dumbing down. Yeah, if he's on my route next week, yep. my recycle will be strung all down the front of my property.
Probably. You know that the video of the truck beating the can with the big arms. he's gonna mash that every day at your house now for a while.
But how do we get beyond the litigious society that we're in?
So here's what's cool about what I'm doing. So this thing is really, it's unique in one way. We have a form of government that gives incredible, incredible power to the mayor's position. It's actually the most unchecked form of government that exists, probably, is a strong form of government that we have, the mayor, strong mayor form of government. And the council has lost a lot of their strength. So one of the things you do is you use that form of government to make what changes you can. You got to use common sense. You don't go do crazy things, but you do try to return some liberty and freedom to your citizens that have lost it over years. You make an effort to do so. You listen a lot. That's the key. You listen a lot. You listen to what can be done. You don't listen to the loudest voices, and I say that a lot. Right now, all we're doing is listening to whoever's hollering the loudest. Our city council listens to the loudest voice, and they respond to, and that's what's wrong.
You don't, or the person with the biggest checkbook.
Right. Well, exactly. You can buy a megaphone if you got enough money, and that's what's happening too. But also, sometimes just the most tenacious voice, squeaky wheel type thing, ends up getting you things that don't make sense, ends up giving you an opportunity to get things passed, legislation that don't make sense.
There's a mic on in master control. I don't know if you guys know that or not. Your conversation's going out over the air.
That's awesome.
Anyway, the last caller that we have before we go on time with you guys is on the line. It's Blake.
Okay.
And he's got some comments for you. So I wanted to catch that before the music started playing.
Jimmy, we know that we've lost a ship, the USS, I don't know,
Adams.
Able or Adams, and there are some issues about why that happened. Have you talked about the Veterans Center that you want to build?
Yeah,
your idea of the Veterans Center.
I haven't had a chance on this show, but I've been talking about it a lot lately. And one of the things the veterans don't have is a place to meet. They have to use the auditorium when it's available, and it's a bigger space than they need. And I've been to quite a few veterans events there, and one of the downsides is the ice is under your feet from the hockey. And it's literally freezing. It's like meeting in a freezer, and that's great, and it's an awesome venue. But the veterans need a place. And if we are going to use the word veteran every other sentence in Duval County and talk about how much we honor and appreciate their valor, their service, we need to do a few things for them. A veteran center, restore some sense of honor and valor to the word veteran by not giving it second billing in the new situation that's arise. And we need to provide, at least open the conversation about a hospital, because if we don't bail completely on the form of veteran care, if we don't plug them into the normal medical system, it's insane that they have to travel all the way to Gainesville to get an actual hospital care. There's clinics, but there's nothing beyond the clinic stage in Duval County, a city that is supposed to be the most veteran city, friendly city in the country. So
go real quick, tell everybody how they can reach you off the air.
Yeah, 904-759-2758 is a phone number. I want you to remember that number. It's going to stay the same during the tenure, but JimmyHillForJacksonville.com is the website, and you can find us on Facebook, and it's an easy find. So put Jimmy Hill for mayor in there, and it'll pop right up.
Jimmy Hill, thank you for joining us here tonight. I know you stayed a little bit longer than you anticipated, just to protect Angela from
thank
the
you.
Abuse she's about to receive.
Yes, but thank you.
Thank you.
Jimmy Hill joining us tonight on I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm sure he'll be back in again in the future. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255.